If you have your Bible open by now to 1 Kings 22, we're going to look in verse 1 and begin reading there and read down to verse, well, we may go as far as 28, I don't know, but we'll read a little ways. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Which is a long-winded way of saying, Yes, I'll go with you. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we may inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither, Micaiah the son of Imla. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. They had a Bible conference going on, a lot of preachers preaching. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaah, made him horns of iron. And he said, Thus saith the Lord, With these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord speaketh unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go up against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered, Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. But he must have said it with a sound of sarcasm in his voice, because Ahab recognized something was up. In verse 16, he said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? So Micaiah now speaks in verse 17, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said this manner, and one said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit, and stood before the Lord, and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Zedekiah, the son of Chenaah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, Which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Micaiah said, Behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with the bread of affliction and with the water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, Hearken, O people, every one of you. Now, Micaiah is a man of God. You see that, don't you, already? Micaiah is a true-hearted warrior who stood with holy boldness, with a passionate heart for God and right. And yet, Micaiah I mean, warrior that he is. You read this story, you say, man, here's a giant for the Lord. Here's a great man of God. And yet, warrior that he is not given the attention that a Moses or a David is given in the Scriptures. In fact, Micaiah lived and ministered at the same time that Elijah and Elisha ministered. And yet Elijah's name is much better known than Micaiah. You'd have to really be a student of the Old Testament to recognize, if I got up tonight and say, I want you to turn to the passage where Micaiah is talked about, you'd have to really be a student of the Scripture to have any idea where Micaiah is found in the Bible. He comes on the scene for this one situation, and we never hear from him again in the pages of the Bible. But beloved, listen, he was a flesh and blood man. He lived, he loved, he preached for a lifetime, but he goes almost unnoticed in comparison to some of the larger events and some of the greater ministries of many Bible personalities. His name is not up in lights. He is not one of the most celebrated heroes of the faith. And the majority of the professing Christian community doesn't even recognize his name when he's mentioned in a service. But he was a mighty man of God, and he was a true prophet. Now, I want to tell you what blesses me about this. Micaiah is one of my heroes in the Scriptures, one of those Bible personalities that stir me and inspire me to love God and be true to His Word. I'm encouraged by Micaiah on many levels, not the least of which is the realization that a person may be comparatively insignificant in terms of world-shaking events or in terms of some large and visible ministry. A person may be relatively insignificant, say, Micaiah, compared to Elijah's ministry that was much larger and much longer and drew more attention. And yet, that having been said, though he may have a relatively small ministry and a relatively small life, yet he may be a mighty servant of God in his own right. Here is a man who is a mighty servant of God. Even we know very little about him, even though he's not celebrated much by the church of our day. Yet he's a giant for the Lord. You know, beloved, we may be surprised when we get to the judgment seat at who the big important folks really are. We think we know. We think we know who the big important people are. But I'm wondering what Jesus meant when he said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I'll tell you, there are some men of God, there are some women of God who have served the Lord faithfully in a Sunday school class somewhere. Nobody's ever put them on a convention platform. No one's ever given them a lifetime service award. They are unknown, unsung, unnoticed, and yet they're mighty men and women of God, just as this man was. I'm telling you, brother, this guy's got enough guts to make up for three or four people, doesn't he? And yet, in terms of Bible personalities, he's just not given that much space in Scripture. So your life, for instance, my life, there are times I look at myself compared to someone else, compare my ministry to someone else's ministry, and I feel so insignificant that I wonder if it's even worthwhile to keep going. Micaiah blesses me because he says to me, you don't have to be up in front, noticed, applauded, or recognized to be true to God and make an impact. Just keep on where you are, doing right, standing for the Lord. Here's a man who did. Now, I want you to notice some things about this guy, this preacher, this prophet, Micaiah. He stood on some principles. He had some bedrock principles that he lived by, and I want to point out three of them tonight from the Scriptures. First of all, Micaiah lived by this philosophy. Micaiah said, it's better to be hated for speaking the truth than loved for telling a lie. That was the principle he lived by. Better to be hated for speaking the truth than loved for telling a lie. In those verses that we read earlier, you remember what Ahab the king said about him in verse 8? He said, I hate him. Now you see the situations unfolding. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, is asking Ahab, king of Israel, a reasonable question. Before we go to battle, before we saddle up our horses and load up our chariots and attack the Syrians and try to take this city back from them, is there a prophet of the Lord here who can tell us what God thinks about it? It's always wise, isn't it? Find out what the Lord thinks about something before you commence to begin. So is there a prophet of the Lord here? And Ahab said, absolutely. Absolutely. And he brings out 400 of them, 400 preachers that are on his payroll that'll say just what he wants them to say. and they say with one voice, go, and you will succeed. God's going to prosper this venture. You go. Now, Jehoshaphat was a godly man, but he was in a backslidden condition at this point in his life, else he wouldn't have been yoking up with Ahab in the first place. In fact, when Jehoshaphat got back home to Judah, God had a prophet waiting on him. You remember reading this? Just a little further in the Bible, in 2 Chronicles 19, as Jehoshaphat comes back to Judah, this is what Jehu, the son of Hanai, the seer, said to him, King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Jehoshaphat had no business having anything to do with Ahab or any of his schemes. He was in a backslidden condition, and it brought judgment on his own life. But even in a backslidden condition, Jehoshaphat had enough spiritual sense to know that none of those 400 prophets spoke for the true God. So after they got through with their endorsement of Ahab's scheme, Jehoshaphat said, now is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we could inquire? And Ahab's reaction is interesting to me. I will commend Ahab for one thing. I will commend him for his honesty, because most folk wouldn't be that honest about things. Ahab said, there's one man, but I hate him. I'd appreciate folks just being honest with me sometimes, wouldn't you? That smile to your face and stab you in the back. So at least you can say this, for whatever's wrong with Ahab, at least he had the honesty just to say what he thought about the preacher. He said, I hate that guy. Every time he preaches, he makes me feel bad about myself. Every time he preaches, he says evil is coming on my life. I hate him. Why did he hate him? He hated him because Micaiah refused to tell him what he wanted to hear. He insisted on telling what he needed to hear. He spoke the truth of God when it would have been easier not to. He spoke the truth of God. He was unswervingly committed to being faithful to the Word of God as the Spirit of the Lord moved him. You cannot get a better confession than he made in verse 14. As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Now there's the rock bottom commitment of a man of God. Ahab said, I hate this guy. He's hateful to me. What made him hateful in the eyes of Ahab? Well, I'll tell you, Ahab, according to chapter 21 of 1 Kings and verse 25, it said there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Here's a man who had sold himself to a lifestyle of rebellion against God like no one before him. Now you tell me, how in the world could Micaiah be faithful to God and live a life consistent with the Word of God and at the same time be lovable and loved by an Ahab who had sold himself to work evil? Absolutely, it's impossible, isn't it? So Micaiah made this choice, and he knew it was going to cost him, but he made this choice. He said, I would rather be hated for telling the truth than loved for telling a lie. John chapter 15, the Word of God says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me, Jesus said, before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. It's not out of reason to think that you and I, if we choose to really stand for God and right, will be hated by some folk for it. What we have to do is decide what matters to us. Is it more important to us that we be well thought of by the Ahab crowd or that we be right with God? You see, Micaiah made this commitment. He made this settled commitment. In Luke chapter 6, the Bible says, blessed are you when men shall hate you. What a strange blessing. Now, there are a lot of blessings I want from God. I don't know if I want this one. Do you? Blessed are you when men shall hate you and shall separate you from their company. They just break fellowship. They don't have anything to do with you. Blessed are you when they separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. Well, my heavens, it's hard to leap for joy when we're singing about the cross and the blood. In most churches, we're so dead and backslidden on God, much less leap for joy when somebody hates us and cusses us and separates from us because of the Son of Man, because we're standing for God and standing for right. But the Bible says, leap for joy. Why? Because your reward is great in heaven. And then he says this, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Well, you're in good company. You're in Micaiah company. You're walking shoulder to shoulder with Micaiah now. When you're standing for truth in the face of hate and rejection, you're in good company. And then Jesus went on to say this, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers of the false prophets." Micaiah was a flesh and blood man. He was as human as I am. He's just like you, just like me. What was said of Elijah can be said of him. He was a man of like passions as we are, which means he would have felt the same struggles that you and I would feel in a situation like that. The hunger to be loved, the desire to be liked is enormous. It's an enormous motivator in the lives of humans. The desire to fit in, to have the approval of our fellow men, of our peer group, to hear words of affirmation. To be included in the circles of influential and respectable people. All of us feel the magnetic appeal of these things. From the young person who's willing to go to any lengths to be in, to the preacher who tailors his message so as not to hurt anybody's feelings or to get a larger pulpit somewhere down the road. This is a battle that all human beings have to deal with. This longing to be loved, this longing to be liked and to be thought well of. But beloved, when a desire to be thought well of by men, to be liked and loved and approved and popular, when that overwhelms my desire to live only for the smile of God, then I'm in spiritual danger. I'm in spiritual peril. I will compromise my Christianity in order to gain the approval of men unless I make a settled commitment and reaffirm it every day of my life. I'd rather be hated for telling the truth than loved for telling a lie. Better to be hated for telling the truth and loved for telling a lie. Now I want you to notice, I'm about to rush on, but let me tell you something, beloved. Brother Kenny's talking about prophecy being fulfilled. Do you know we are living right in the middle of fulfillment of prophecy, which says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that in those last days, those days just prior to the coming of Jesus, that men will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and will be turned unto fables. We're living there right now. All you have to do is a quick religious survey of those churches that are bursting at the seams, and you'll discover without fail that people flock to those places where they're encouraged and complimented and bragged on, and where everything is upbeat and positive and nothing is said about sin or holiness or repentance or walking with God or any of those things, sacrifice, bearing our cross, no, avoid all of that. Well, yes, people come. They are heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears, teachers who tell them what they want to hear. Like those in Isaiah's day, they say, "Prophesy not unto us right things, prophesy unto us smooth things." Isaiah chapter 30. Well, we have to make a choice, all of us do. Whether we're preachers in the pulpit or Christians living out our lives in the workaday world, we have to make a choice. Am I going to duck and dodge and hide the truth so that I can be liked and loved? Or am I going to stand for the truth and speak the Word of God faithfully, even though that might bring some hatred on me? And it will in our culture. Because in America today, everything's tolerated except the position that Jesus alone saves. And apart from His blood, there is no hope. Everything else is tolerated but that. Start to speak that, and you'll discover hatred coming your way too. Notice the second thing about Micaiah. Not only was he willing to be hated for the truth, he said it's better to be hated for telling the truth than loved for telling a lie. But he also said with his life, it's better to be right with God by yourself than wrong with God in a crowd. 400 preachers in a Bible conference. And there every last one of them saying, "Ahab, go ahead. God's for you, man." They're stroking his ego and they're patting his back and they're living off of his pocketbook. And they're not gonna offend the source of their income. So, brother, they're telling him just what he wants to hear, 400 of them. And the king's messenger goes to get Micaiah. And you know what he said to him? Look what he said in verse 13. The messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, "Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth." They're unified in this. They're united around this. They're telling him good. They're giving him a good message. "Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." And then Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, I'm going to say just what God tells me to say." You know what the word was that he was given? Be one of the guys. Get in the flow of things. Cooperate with the ministerial brethren and let's all just get along. But Micaiah was so consumed with a grand passion to please God and be true to Him, it was so overwhelmingly the priority of Micaiah's life that he actually preferred, he chose, he said with his life, it's better to be right with God by myself. If I have to be right by myself and be right with God, I'd rather be right with God by myself than wrong with God and be in the flow of popular opinion and be one of the guys and one of the crowd. The influence of the herd, the mob mentality, is a very powerful, motivating, and controlling influence in our lives. All you have to do is look at the power of trends. Look at the trends, even in clothing and things like that. Look at the power of trends, and you'll see how we, like sheep, just follow along in the herd. I remember a few years ago when you never saw anyone with a tattoo. Very rarely. But nowadays, you see tattoos everywhere, both in the church and out of the church. And I ask myself, now I'm not saying you go to hell for having a tattoo, but I ask, you know, it still hurts. That's the kind of stuff you'd do to me if the Chinese invaded America and tried to make me deny the faith. That's what they do. They'd tie me down and jab me with a needle 7 million times and try to make me deny Jesus. I mean, it hurts. A few years ago, nobody would go through the pain to do it. Now everybody's going through the pain to do it. Why? What's happened? Well, he's in now. And Lord God, we want to be in. So we do it. Look at clothing styles. My wife and I went to a store not long ago, and I don't mean some crazy, you know, hip teenage store. I'm talking about JCPenney or something like that. Some old, and we're walking in looking at jeans. She could hardly find a pair of jeans that weren't, looked like they'd been bleached out in the front and ripped off in the... I said, the booger man will put a snow cone machine in hell before I pay my money to buy a pair of pants that my mama would have made me throw away. She would nothing in the world let me start a school year with breeches like that. Ragged out here and holes there. No way am I paying money for that. What's going on? I'll tell you what it is. It's the end thing. And here we all go. We just, little sheep, just trot right along in the herd. It's the end thing. This power of the crowd, this power of trends, is so enormous that if you stop to look at it, the most ridiculous things are done. Because it's trends. Trends. What's in? God help us. God give us a renaissance of Micaiahs who hunger and thirst for God's approval. Who will say, I don't care what the rest are doing. I want to be right with God. And if I have to be right with God alone, then I'll be alone. If I have to be an oddball and out of step with everybody I know, I'll be out of step. But I want to be right with God more than I want to be popular, more than I want to be in the crowd. Oh, the courage of Micaiah. He blesses me, stirs me, makes me want to live for God. He said in that 14th verse in one translation, I'll say whatever the living Lord tells me to say. I'll say whatever. Oh, now look, fit in. Everybody's saying this with one mouth. They're all saying this. Come on and say it too. As the Lord lives, I'll say what God tells me to say, he said. Then I note this about him and I'll be through. Micaiah, well look, y'all all know what happened just a few months ago with the man who is being called America's pastor by many surveys. On what's that show, Larry King? Larry King Live. My wife called me. I'd been defending him to people. I'm talking about Joel Osteen. I'd been defending him for this reason. Because I got under conviction several years ago. The Word of God says, receive not an accusation, a charge against an elder, except in the presence of two or three witnesses. And I got under conviction about the fact that people will start something on a preacher and say something on somebody. I don't know if it's so or not. I haven't heard him say that with my own ears. And I'm not going to just take a secondhand report. So, I mean, preachers all over the country were preaching against him, getting up calling his name, and I thought, well, they're just jealous. Church growing, growing, growing. And I was saying, give the guy a break until you hear him say something that's heresy, leave him alone. My wife called me. I was on the road somewhere. She said, you'll never believe what I just saw. She printed me out a copy of the manuscript, the transcript. I have it in print from the show where Larry King asked him point blank, is Jesus Christ the only way to heaven? And he would not say yes. He ducked. He dodged, he hedged, he would not say yes. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He would not say it. You know why? The enormous pressure to want to be in and liked and loved. So we dare not take any hard stands on anything that might provoke the world to hate us. No doubt about it, he'd have gotten hate mail if he'd have said, Jesus Christ is the only way any man goes to heaven. If a Muslim goes to heaven, he's going to have to get on his face and trust Jesus as God and Lord. Buddhists have to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hindus, there's no other way under heaven, no other name given among men. If he'd have made that statement, he'd have gotten hate mail. But wouldn't it have been better? Wouldn't it have been better to be hated for telling the truth than loved for telling the lie? No doubt a lot of people loved his answer. No doubt a lot of people loved his answer across this country who do not want to bow their knee to Jesus. But big deal. Soon we draw our last breath and then we stand before the God of heaven. And what matters then? What matters then is that I was right with him, even if I had to be unpopular to be right. You know, later he retracted his statement. Well, he didn't retract, he apologized. He said, I'd rather be hated for telling the truth than loved for telling a lie. He said, I'd rather be right with God by myself than wrong with God in the crowd. And then he said, I would rather be persecuted for obeying God than rewarded for rebelling against him. He chose persecution. This was not shade tree theology for Micaiah, like it might be for us in America, where it's not going to cost us our lives or our liberty to stand for the Lord, at least not yet. In America, it's not going to cost us our lives or our liberty. But for this man, it was not religious theory. He put his life and his death into this commitment. When he stood and said what he said, he knew very good and well what it was going to cost him, and it did. As soon as he delivered the message of the Lord, he was committed to prison and fed with the bread and water of affliction until the king came back in peace. Well, the king never came back in peace. He died on the battlefield. Who knows what happened to Micaiah? Perhaps he lost his life in that prison. Perhaps he was left there to rot. Perhaps he was killed, given a martyr's death. Who knows? Micaiah said, this is my decision. This is where I'm staking my life. It is better to be persecuted for obeying God than to be rewarded for rebelling against him. Better. Revelation chapter 12 speaks of the overcomers like this. It says, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They said, we'd rather die than be wrong with God. We'd rather die than be disobedient to his call on our lives. This is the place of real discipleship. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said, if any man would come after me, let him take up his cross daily. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There's an old song that I love. I bought an album just the other day so I could have it. Basically for this song, George Beverly Shea album. You know what song it is? I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. The song says, I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. Now apparently Micaiah really meant that. Apparently he really meant it because he put his life and his blood into it and probably died as a result. He didn't just feel warm and fuzzy about it. Now we can sing that song. We can feel kind of, you know, oh, it feels, you know, amen. Yeah, but right now, in America, with the religious liberty we have, it's not going to cost us anything to say I'd rather have Jesus. But Micaiah swore his life to it. And I pray that God would raise up, even here, what do you think would happen if just a few of us gathered in this building tonight would leave this place resolved to be a Micaiah in our generation? It still may not mean anybody ever notices you or calls your name from a platform or gives you a special medal or does a feature article on you in Christianity Today. You may never be noticed by the world, but don't you think we could make a difference for the glory of God if we would honestly believe and honestly live on these principles? It's better to be hated for telling the truth than loved for telling a lie. It's better to be right with God by myself than wrong with God in the crowd. It's better to be persecuted for obedience to God than rewarded. In the short term, rewarded for rebelling against him. May the Lord help us to be a generation of Micaiahs. Stand as we pray. Father.